Hi, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. Let's open the Word together. The Encouraging Word. What angels do. For the last 7 or 8 days, we've been diving into God's Word to discover this concept of angels and what we maybe have learned is true and is not true. And today, Dr. Don kind of puts an exclamation point on the end of this message. We'll be going to Hebrews in just a minute as we study the Word together. But Dr. Don wants you to know we're available for you. Maybe you have some questions. Let us pray together about those questions and answers on our phone line at 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. Maybe you have some questions for Dr. Don that we can track down for you and get back with you. You can also reach us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now today's message from Dr. Wilton.
Today I'm going to preach the final message on the What Angels Do series. And I'm going to share with you one more very important point with regard to what angels do. And I want to read to you from the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 1. In the past, all right, there's a good place to stop. In the past. Everybody look at me for just a moment. Here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God says to us, he says, in the past. What does he mean by that? This is the Old Testament time, if you please. And everything from this side looks toward the cross. You have the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this is the New Testament time. This is the church age. We're in the time of the New Testament, waiting for the rapture of the church, for Jesus Christ to come into the clouds, to take all of those of us who love him into heaven to be with him forever and forever and forever. We are looking back on the cross, what Jesus Christ has already done. There is a real sense in which when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, what are we doing? We are accepting what Jesus has already done in the past. We are accepting what Christ did for us upon the cross 2,000 years ago. One of the questions that we ask of ourselves, I most certainly do from time to time, is how did God speak to these people over here before Jesus came? We know the Bible says that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Well, what about the but by me part? What about before Jesus came? What about all those people back there in the New Testament and the Old Testament? What about all the prophets and all those people we read about from Genesis through to Malachi? What about them? Well, the Bible now is talking here in the first verse, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers, how? Through the prophets at many times and in many different ways. And we're going to discover something very interesting here, because God spoke also through angels. I'm going to show you how in just a moment. Going to use one or two illustrations. But let me read this to you. He spoke it many times in various ways, but in these last days. By the way, the doctrine of eschatology, or the doctrine of last things, final things, dealing with the judgment and with tribulation. The Bible talks about the last days. In these last days, we are living in the last days. How long are the last days? Well, we don't know. We know they've gone on for 2,000 years. They might go on for another 2,000 years, because no man knows the hour or the time that Jesus will come again. But we must be ready for that time. The Bible says, but in the last days he has spoken to us how? By his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being. He sustains all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So through this, the cross, he became as much superior to the angels as the very name he has inherited. And then you've got a kind of a question. By the way, it's almost, there's a little tinge of sarcasm here. In verse 5, he says, For to which of the angels did God ever say? For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, and today I have become your father"? If you'll beg my pardon for just a moment, it's almost as though God is standing there in heaven, surrounded by myriads of angels, and they're all jostling for position, and they all want to curry God's favor, and it's as though God is booming out his voice throughout all the ages to remind all people for all time to come that angels can never take the place of God the Son. And God says, "By the way, angels, which one of you would step forward right now and tell me that I've ever designated you to be my son?" Excuse me? "For to which of the angels have I ever said, 'You are my son, and today I have become your father'?" Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son." And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all of God's angels worship him." Worship who? Worship Jesus Christ, because he is superior. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds. And that word there, winds, ruach, literally means that he makes his angels moving spirits that have the capacity to be dispatched according to God's commission. He did not say, "I have made my angels the spirit." We must never confuse angels, who are spirits at God's command, they are part of God's commissioned agents, with the Spirit of the living God, who is the third person of the Trinity and who is the one who indwells us. The spirit angels are never able to indwell us. Well, let's read on and see what he says. But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you will remain the same, and your years will never end." And so, to which of the angels did God ever say, "Hey, angel, you sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet"? God is saying, "I have never said, I have never given any angel at any time permission to be seated at the right hand of the throne of Almighty God. That is something that I have reserved exclusively for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my beloved Son." Now watch what happens. Verse 14. "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent out by God to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Angels are not generally available. They are only given to those who are inheriting salvation. Angels are only made available to those who are in Christ. Angels do not serve and cannot serve and do not have God's permission to serve people who have rejected God. They are ministering servants, spirits, who are sent out to serve those who are inheriting salvation. And so it is in chapter 2. "We must therefore pay more careful attention to that which we are hearing, so that we do not drift away." The King James Version says, "so that these things do not slip through our fingers." What does that mean? It means, my friend, that death can deprive you of an opportunity to take to heart what the angels have taught us. Listen to what he says. "For if the message spoken by angels was binding, In other words, in view of the facts as they have been presented by the angels, was absolute and steadfast, and every violation, every sin, every disobedience received a just recompense of reward or a just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation as this? Whew! Folks, this is powerful stuff, and angels are right in the middle of it. Let me say a couple of things to you. Point number 15, angels remind us. That's the point, write it down. Angels remind us. What do they remind us about? You see, friends, we have become convinced that angels are connected into what we know and what we believe about God. Angels remind us of three things, and I'm going to give them to you, and then I'm going to talk about them quickly. Number one, angels remind us that God's way is the only way. Number two, angels remind us that Jesus is God's only way. And number three, angels remind us that we must not ignore God's way. I don't want you to get tongue-tied, but there it is. What do angels remind us of? Number one, that God's way is the only way. It's amazing here that at the beginning of chapter 2, God all of a sudden stops. Now watch what happens here. God is looking back to the cross for us. He's trying to explain how God speaks. This is God by His Spirit through His Word. God's looking back. He's saying in times past, God spoke through the prophets in many ways. He even spoke through His angels, but now He's spoken through His Son. By the way, let me tell you something about my Son. And He gives us this incredible resume about God the Son, about the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ, about His preciousness, about His majesty, about His exaltation, about His unparalleled glory. God tells us about who Jesus Christ is. Gets up to chapter 2, and all of a sudden, it's as though, if you'll beg my pardon, God says, hold on a minute, are you paying attention? May I make a suggestion this morning? I hope it's not true, but I'll guarantee you at least one person worshiping with us today. Up until this point, you haven't heard a word I've said. I'll guarantee there's somebody thinking about a football game. There's somebody here wondering how you're going to grab her hand when she's not looking. There's someone here worrying about finances, thinking about hospitals. There's somebody here on medication. There's somebody in some circumstance somehow. God, in a sense, all of a sudden stops in the middle of this incredible resume. And He says, excuse me, are you paying attention? Are you listening? Are you listening to what I'm saying about Jesus Christ?
What a challenging thought for us to stay focused on what God is speaking through His Word about Jesus Christ. Forgive the interruption. We'll return in just a moment with more of today's message from Dr. Wilton. But Dr. Don would want us to interrupt to say we're here for you. Right now, during the broadcast, we continue to take those connecting texts and calls to 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. And we're connecting online as well at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message.
It's what He says. He says, in view of the facts as presented by angels. Look here. He says, for if the message spoken by angels was binding. Well, I asked myself this question, well, what message was spoken by the angels? Went back into the Old Testament and asked myself this question, what exactly was it that angels did in relation to the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments? Because the Old Testament revolves, in a sense, around the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? What did the angels do that was binding concerning the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments? Two things. Number one, they provided backup. They provided backup. In fact, in Psalm 68 and verse 17, the Bible says this. Says they accompanied the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. The Bible says that angels provided backup for the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. But number two, In the Old Testament, angels conferred holy orders. Now, this is a little bit more difficult to understand. Acts chapter 7 in the New Testament, we're told about it. I'll just read to you verse 38 and then verse 53. You have to read all of it in between to understand it. Listen. This is the one who is in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai and was with our fathers, the law as ordained by angels. The Bible says that angels in the Old Testament ordained the law. Well, I looked up that word in the dictionary about ordained. What does it mean? The dictionary tells us it means to enact or to establish the law, to invest. God is telling us in His Word that angels in the Old Testament provide backup and they confer holy orders upon the orders already given by God. It's almost like angels are standing there to say, excuse me, did you hear what God just said? Now, what does this mean? It meant, my beloved friends, that if you broke the law would break you. Simple as that. In the Old Testament, you break the law breaks you. Listen, it means that the law would punish every sin regardless of who sinned. If you committed adultery, you would be stoned to death. There was no question about it. No wonder God stops in the middle of this and says, pay attention to what the angels have said. Pay attention. Why? Because the angels are showing us that God's way is the only way. It's incredible. The angels are pointing us, watch this, they're pointing us to the grace of God. That's what they're doing. They're saying, listen, be focused. Listen, we were here to confer and to confirm and to back up the law as God gave it. Now God has spoken through His Son. We want you to understand. We're pointing you to the grace of God. We want you to know that we represent God. Everything that God has said is true, that the just shall live by faith. And by faith you are saved through grace and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Angels remind us that God's way is the only way. Number two, angels remind us that Jesus Christ is God's only way. I mean, they get very specific. The Word here tells us very clearly that Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. Why? Well, we've got a description here. There's a seven-part description of the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you like to hear these seven things? Now I'm going to hit them like bullets. Each one of these seven characteristics of Jesus Christ are incredible. This is what the Word teaches right here. Number one, He is superior because of His heirship. In verse 2, His heirship. The Bible says in verse 2, in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. Number two, His creatorship. The Bible says that He has made the universe. Number three, His radiance. In verse 3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory. Isn't that incredible? Number four, His image. His image. Right there, it says that the sun is the exact representation of His being. And the word there is the word icon or image of God. Listen, Jesus said right throughout His ministry, He said, if you want to know what God the Father looks like, look to Me, the Son. He who has seen Me has seen the Father. And what God is saying to us here is, listen, I want you to know that My Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is superior. He is all-sufficient. He is all-powerful. He has every bit of My authority because He is the exact representation of everything that I am. He goes on. He says in the fifth place, He is superior because of His ability. Look right there in verse 3. He says he sustains all things by the power of his word. The sixth instant, his sacrifice makes him superior to the angels. It says, after he had provided purification for sin, Jesus Christ is the one who paid the sacrifice upon the cross. And number seven, he is superior because of his position. His position in verse 3, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Can you just imagine that for a minute with me? God here is making an announcement, and he's putting his angels right into the midst of this. And he's saying, listen, angels, I know that you are my angels and you are special to me, but did I ever call you my son? Did I ever give you the same position as my son? Have I ever invited you to sit down at my right hand? Can you imagine that God the Son sat down at the right hand of God the Father? Why on the right hand? Because that was widely regarded. That is the power side of God. The high priest in the Old Testament, remember before the cross, in the tabernacle, guess what? He had nowhere to sit. There was nowhere to sit for the high priest in the tabernacle. Folks, why was there nowhere to sit for the high priest in the tabernacle? Because who would have the audacity to sit down in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Who would have the audacity to sit down in the presence of God Almighty? What did the Levitical high priests have to do? They had to sacrifice over and over and over and over and over again. Why did they have to sacrifice like that without even sitting down? Because they had to try and win the approval of God through the sacrifice they made according to the Levitical law. And here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus Christ offered one sacrifice for all. And when he hung upon that cross, one sacrifice, one time, Jesus Christ announces, he says, "It is finished." And he gives up the ghost and he rises from the grave, and God exalts him into the heavens. And when he comes into heaven, God the Father says, "You have paid one sacrifice for me. Please take a seat, my son. You be seated at the right hand of the Father." What a God we serve! What an incredible God we serve! No wonder Jesus Christ was superior to the angels. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not die, but shall have eternal life. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. What authority, what an honor, what a statement, what a position, what an unbelievable to think about the fact that God invited Jesus the Son to be seated in his presence. And all these years, people like you and me have been trying to do everything we possibly can to gain the approval of God the Father without the Son. And angels remind us that God's way is the only way. And angels remind us that Jesus Christ is the only way. And angels remind us, my beloved friends, that we must not ignore God's way. Why? Number one, because we are hearing. That's what chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2 is all about. We are hearing. Number two, because we could lose our opportunity. Not one of us here today is guaranteed tomorrow, folks. You and I could drop dead just like that. Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? For if the word which was spoken by angels was steadfast, and every disobedience and sin received a just recompense of reward," please pay attention to what you are hearing, lest at any time these things should slip through your finger. And the Word of God says to you and to me, choose today, right now, whom you will serve. You're either for God or you're against God. No man can serve two masters. Why must we not ignore God's way? We are hearing. We could lose our opportunity. And number three, because we cannot escape if we do ignore what God is saying. Folks, what do angels teach us? Angels teach us about God. They point us to the Lord Jesus. God loves you and me. Isn't that just incredible? That God would love a dirty old rotten scoundrel like me and like you. God would love people like us. That's the God we serve. I'm just so glad we're able to worship Him today. I'm so glad that we can come into the house of God together and we can call upon His name. Angels remind us that God's way is the only way.
And what a remarkable way to get that message, that God's way is the only way, via angels. There is so much in this series that we've shared over the last 6 or 7 days. If you'd like to hear it again or share it with a friend, you can find it on our website at tewonline.org. You'll find a number of things there, including the answer to some questions about what it is to say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager here on The Encouraging Word. This is Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
Every day, every week, Dr. Don shares that truth of that message. And as he was praying, I'm convinced that some of you were praying along with him in your heart. And you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Welcome to the family of God. As we begin this journey, you need to know we want to do it together. We're happy to be encouraging you. We have some free resources Dr. Don wants you to have. Give us a call and let us walk through this next steps with you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll always connect with one of us, happy to talk or listen or pray. And you can also connect with us online at tewonline.org.
Do you know someone that could use some encouragement? We're here to help. Visit our online web store at tewonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You will find sermon messages, books, and outreach cards. Let us take care of the shipping and help you send a word of hope today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Before we get away, tomorrow it's a message on motivation and how we get motivated by many different things, including angels. We'll see you tomorrow, I pray, as we connect both online at tewonline.org, or if you'd like to pray with someone, 866-899-9673.